Okay, let's go to Hebrews real quick. Hebrews 11. Real quick. I want to try to move fast and get something established here this last hour. Okay. Understanding the will of God. I know we got on this healing thing yesterday. Understanding the will of God is huge. It's very important. It's important to believe that Jesus came for a purpose, paid a price for a purpose. He came to remove sin and the effects of sin. If sickness and disease came through the fall of man and Jesus took the fall so we could get back up, why would we think God uses these very same things to teach us, to build character and all this kind of stuff? I couldn't disagree more in my own heart. I don't want to argue about it with people. I want to be so sure in my mind so that I can have faith and believe the heart and nature of God in a situation. If I believe for 1 minute that God subtracts out the devil, subcontracts him, or uses the things he paid to remove, then I'm in limbo. I don't know whether I'm coming or going when I'm in a situation. Because is it God or is it the devil? Jesus said the thief comes not but to steal, kill, and destroy. So, but I have come. So it's a contrast. The thief comes for this reason, to steal, kill, destroy. And if you look in John 10:10 at when he's talking about the thief, we all know, we all think devil when he says thief. But it's actually false teaching is what he's talking about in John 10:10. And the reason we know it's the devil, because every false teaching comes from the devil. But he's really addressing false teachers, false teaching. And the purpose of false teaching is to steal, kill, and destroy. So where does it come from? It comes from the enemy, of course. So why? Because he wants to steal, kill, and destroy the finished work of Christ, the purpose of the covenant, the joy that's in your heart, the hope of salvation, and whatever else good thing comes through the cross. But false teaching is detrimental. It steals, kills, and destroys. It tells you why you should be careful to have a hope when the Bible says hope's the anchor of your soul and faith is the substance of your things hoped for. When you don't understand who God is, when you don't know the will of God, you can't have faith. You can't set your confidence in a thing because you're not sure where God stands. So you're reduced to praying a cross fingers prayer in a method. You're saying the right things, hoping it works. I had a pastor really upset with me one time, really, really mad at me. And I mean, he was so mad at me in a parking lot and he just, bam, found out later his mother died of cancer. That's why he was so mad at what I was preaching, because he took it so personal and he took it so inward. And that if what I was preaching, then he was hearing it as suggesting that his mom didn't have faith or was in sin. I wonder if we just don't have understanding. I wonder if we're super good people and don't have understanding and we're destroyed for the lack of knowledge. I wonder if it's that simple. I wonder if our knowledge, what we're calling knowledge, is actually destroying us. I wonder if we're making exception for faith and giving permission for things that could be changed because of our theology. See, here's the paradox. I got an open vision in my kitchen one time of the hand of God coming down rescuing two babies in the NICU unit. The hand, an open vision, I'm bawling on the phone, it's a long story, I won't tell it. But the hand came down and scooped the babies, and when the hand scooped, the babies were in the palm of the hand. If my theology was that God takes people and doesn't heal everybody, and sometimes He ordains death, I would have said, take heart, Mom. You need to find peace because your babies are in the hand of God, as if the hand now is going to go back up into heaven. And that's how I would have interpreted and prophesied the vision. But I don't have a grid for that. That's the last thing I could possibly think when I see the hand scoop the babies. So guess what I said? Mom, you better take heart. Your babies aren't dying. They're in the hand of God. Your babies are going to live. Well, the one baby had to die because the lungs weren't formed. It was 1 pound, 9 ounces. And the lungs weren't formed and they were going to unhook the respirator. The baby had to die.
But they're in the hand of God.
Yeah, but brother, he's taking them to be with the Lord. No, they're in the strong hand of God. They're going to live. Prophetic. My theology determines how I understand the vision. True? And if I don't have the theology that I have, then I'm thinking what? God's let me know he's taking the baby. But I proclaim to live. Guess what happened? They unhooked the little baby from the respirator and they're sad and the nurses are sad because they watch tiny babies in NICU die all the time. And it's precious little life. When I saw the babies, I stood there and just cried and cried. I never saw a 1 pound, 9 ounce baby in my life. And I just looked in there and I couldn't believe it. About like that, lying there. Took this wedding band up the hand to the armpit like this and never touched nothing of the baby. The nurse wanted me to have a visual of how little they were. So she took my wedding band, she cleaned it, sanitized it up. She said, I just want to show you so you can always remember. Took her little hand, put it through up to the armpit and went like this. With this wedding band right here. I stood there and cried. But they unhooked the respirator, the ventilator thing, and she just curled up, stuck her little hand and curled up in a little ball, and they're waiting for her to terminate. She never did. And after time got so ridiculous that they thought, what is going on? Because she doesn't have the capacity to breathe. She should be gone. They knew something was up. They re-ultrasounded her lungs. Were totally fine. But think about the paradox. The hand and how I interpret the vision. The earth he did give to the children of men. You decree a thing and it shall come to pass. Power and life and death is in your tongue. Hello? We're putting it all on God. And God's given us the kingdom. And we're putting it all on God. As the sovereign, divine, orchestrating being that he is divine and amazing and he's incredible and you can't even put God into words. So am I doing him injustice and dishonor when I talk like this? No, we don't understand. He made us in his image and gave us the kingdom to subdue the earth. He gave us the stewardship of the earth and told us to subdue. And in being subdued, we find fault with God and wonder where he's at and what he's doing. And we turned him into a charade instead of a mystery revealed. Let's read. Now faith is the substance. The substance. Do you know what substance means? It means the realization, the tangibility. Good. That's good. The realization, the tangibility. Whoa. How can I have a realization of my hope without knowing God's nature and his will in a situation? How can I have the realization, the tangibility of hope? Who knows when you're sick, you hope to be healed. Who knows when somebody's dying, you hope they live. Right? But how can I have the tangibility, the realization of that hope if I don't understand the will of God in the matter? How can I be so convinced in my heart and know that I know that I know if I haven't settled God's will? Are you following me? Come on, this is important. This pastor got so mad at me. He said, you're a heretic. You will be judged before God and thrown into hell. He said, it's people like you that are hurting the body of Christ. He's screaming at me. And I said, man, I'm sorry you feel that way. I don't feel that way. Who sees he's mad? Who sees he's hurt because he lost his mother? Who sees that you can say anything in pain? Who knows that I'm not threatened by his threat? Who knows that I'm sitting in my bedroom on my bed and the presence of God comes and he talks to me and fathers me and loves me? And who knows that I know I'm not going to be judged? And who knows I know I'm not a heretic? Who knows he's angry? You follow me? And he said, well, I need to ask you this question. Is it God's will to heal everybody? And I said, of course. Certainly. And that's when he... I met him several years later jogging on a trail. He passed by me. And I recognized him and I said, hey, pastor. And I said his name, kept running. We met coming around the other way on the trail. And he stopped me and he forgot my name and thought it was Mark. And I said, no. And I told him my name. He said, wow, well, listen, man, it's good I bumped into you because I wanted to say, you know, there was a time I really treated you rough and blah, blah, blah. And I'm sorry. It wasn't a God thing. Did the whole religious thing. People carry hurts for years. It's amazing. We got talking a little. And he asked me how I'm doing and what's happening, what's going on. And I began to share with him. He said, see, you're going in that same line. He said, let me ask you a question. Do you still believe it's God's will? And I said, emphatically, absolutely, yes. And he just turned red again. He said, that's what I hate about you Pentecostal charismatics. And I cried on the trail in the woods when you weren't there. I said, is that what I am? I don't even know that's what I am. Just in love with Jesus, sir. I just seek him. I said, you don't know my tears. You don't see my prayer life. You're not with me when I'm with him. It's you projecting on me. It's easy to be mad. And you're just mad. And I said, you just told me you forgive me and da-da-da. It's really not the case. No, you're right. And then he went on again to tell me I'm going to be judged to be a heretic, that I'm a heretic. And really went on and on. And I thought, wow, I'm learning from this, but I'm really broken in my heart. People take life really personal. And when you take life so personal, it keeps you from having an ear to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying through the Bible. Because what he's saying, you're interpreting through your pain, not his life. You follow me? And now he's pastoring, carrying that kind of pain. Projecting that belief on multitudes of people, accusing me of being a heretic, when all the while he's in pain, I have the joy of my salvation. And I've watched countless people truly healed. And then the bottom line was, I'll tell you how irrational people get. He said, well, you've been just talking about yourself the whole time. He asked me how I was doing and what's new. He said, you haven't even asked me how I'm doing. And he just started nitpicking like that. And I thought, wow, hurt is a wretched, terrible, treacherous thing. And I said, well, listen to this. And I shared something. And he called me a liar. You're nothing but a liar. And so I told him I run on the trail all the time. Well, I never saw you on the trail before. See, you're a liar. That's how hurt is. I looked at him and I was crying pretty hard by this point. And I said, my God, you're pastoring people. Your heart's in trouble. And you're pastoring people. And I was just standing there crying. I said, oh my God. Sir, you're pastoring. With that kind of heart. And I was crying. And I said, I'm going to go now. And I started jogging down the trail. And he said, hey. He said, look, man, we can't leave like this. Look, I forgive you. I'm sorry. And I stopped and I said, no, you're not. And no, you don't. You're being religious. Yeah, you're right. I hate you. You're a heretic. And he turned and ran away. And I thought, boy, hurt is a terrible thing. When you suffer physical loss and anybody's saying anything other than what's trying to protect your hurting soul, you're a cat in a corner. And you will kill that thing. You see what I'm saying? I cried the whole way home. Not because I was hurt. I promise you guys. It'll be a cold day in hell. Before you find me hurt. It just will. I see some things there. I was hurting at the reality of what this kind of pain does to us. and then it multiplies itself on a whole lot of other people that are carrying the same pain. So that's how we end up in circles and rivers and camps and streams, because we find like situations, like people, like beliefs, and we gravitate toward one another. And we come up with belief systems that try to heal our wounds, but there's no real healing. And there's sure no increase of power, so we're always going to have the same scenarios and results. And watch the paradox. The more the results keep the same, the more it affirms your belief. And your belief is causing the results, but the results are affirming the belief. Are you following me? So now it's not just happened once, twice, three times. Now it's happened 10. See, I told you so. The reason I told this story mainly is because of this. I asked him, faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things not seen. I said, don't you ever have altar calls and ever pray for the sick? Of course we do. The Bible says pray for the sick and anoint them with oil. I said, that's not all the Bible says. I said, let me ask you this. Who's getting healed? That's irrelevant. What matters is that we obey and anoint them with oil. I said, it's not the anointing of oil. It's the prayer of faith that saves the sick. Anoint them with oil, praying the prayer of, and the prayer of faith will save the sick, and God will raise them up. That's exactly how it quotes. It's James 5:14. Is any among you sick? Let him ask for prayer, having the elders pray over them, anointing them with oil, praying the prayer of faith, and the prayer of faith will. The prayer of faith. You want to look at it? James 5. You just want to see it with your eyes? So you see, I'm not preaching my own stuff. Is then you? See, here's the worst you can get. Persecuted for believing the Bible in the face of people's reality. That's the worst you can get as a Christian. Bring it on. They put Jesus on the cross. We're not trying to pick a fight, but we will not compromise. This is the Word of God. Now look, if it's not my reality, I have to grow into it. True? If Jesus said, follow me, and my experience isn't equivalent to his, I'm still growing, right? But if I embrace a belief system contrary to what he taught me, then I'm stopping growing. I've got a ceiling over my head. You follow me? This is important. Is anyone who? Is who? Anyone. Come on, this is important. Is who?
Anyone.
So there's no exclusions concerning sovereignty or the will of God. Ha. Yeah. Is who?
Anyone.
Come on, you better catch that. If it wasn't like that, God loves us too much to play charades. It would be so technical and complex, it would be ridiculous. It would have to say, is there anyone who's not ordained by God to be sick? Let him ask for prayer, because it's the devil. Well, how do you know if it's the devil or I'm ordained to be sick? Well, I guess pray and find out. If you get healed, it's God's will, then it was the devil. If you don't, it's God's ordination. Well, then when you pray, there's no faith. You follow me? People say, let's pray to see if it's the will of God. If he heals you, it is. If he doesn't, it isn't. But when you pray, it's the big if. So is there ever faith? So do you ever have the realization of your hope or the evidence of things unseen? No. There's churches today, by the score, that say, let's pray and see if it's God's will to heal you. And they pray and say, if it be your will. We're supposed to know the will of God. When you pray, if it be your will, you're making a public testimony and confession. You don't have a clue what God's doing and wants to do. And we're supposed to know. Don't be unwise. Understand the will of God. Prove the perfect will of God. Some of us grew up in circles that threw the will of God around like a hot potato. Like no one could know it. That it was an unholy, irreverent, presumptuous thing to even assume the will of God. To know the will of God. That was blasphemy. Who's grew up in that kind of background? That the will of God was always a mystery. The mystery's revealed. Paul says in Galatians, the mystery's revealed. Christ has come out like God is. He called light to shine in the darkness. Come on. So I asked this man, who's getting healed? He said, that's irrelevant. And he got really threatened and mad at my question. I said, no, it's not irrelevant because the Bible says the prayer of faith will save the sick. And I said, okay, let me ask you this. Now, hear my heart, because I'm trying to reason with him. I'm not slighting him. I'm not bashing him. I said, so what I'm getting from you is people are not getting healed. You're not seeing people healed at the altar. You're going through the motions of ordinance. But sir, I'm telling you of all the people healed. You're calling me a liar, but if I'm not lying, then a lot of people are getting healed. So here's what you're telling me. God's sending the people to your altar that it's not the will of God to heal. And He's sending people to our altar that it is the will of God to heal. Or is the difference the prayer of faith? You don't know what you're doing. You're just following an ordinance in the sense of God's will. You think it's humble to say, if it be your will, I believe Jesus told me I didn't know His will, and in the authority of His name, pray and move mountain. So what's the difference between nobody getting healed and people getting healed? It's not that everybody's jumping healed, but a whole lot of people getting healed. What's the difference? It's the prayer of faith. I know this. People that embrace what I'm preaching, well, it's going to be straight, strong comment. People that embrace what I'm preaching see a whole lot more of the miraculous and healings than anybody I know that doesn't preach what I'm preaching. Amen. And you have to make the connection. The connection is what we're willing to believe. You follow me? People that pray, if it be thy will, rarely see anything ever. There's people that have been a Christian their whole life and have never seen a healing or a miracle. And then that begins to be their doctrine, that experience. You say, well, it's great if it... I was talking to a pastor recently and I got on a couple of healing. He said, you know, I think it's awesome when that stuff happens. And I mean, it's pretty cool, but it's far outweighed by people that learn to suffer in grace. Far outweighed by people that learn to suffer in grace. And the reason he said that is because there's people in his family suffering, and they call it the suffering of the Lord in grace, not losing their integrity and character. When was character and integrity ever up for grabs? Why does it take sickness to produce character? We're supposed to have it already. Are you following me? Do you have something still?
Yeah. We have several questions that come in from our online students. Mm-hmm. And several of them involve sickness and healing. And this one I think fits in here. And it's from Mandy from Korea, a different student mm-hmm. than the one we were talking about this
right,
morning.
Right.
And she says, is anointing people with oil works? I don't think it is, but it is cited in Scripture for healing. I just don't know how much ritual could be associated with it. Some people might even get to rely more on the oil than the Word of God.
That's Mandy from Korea. That's a very clear statement. You can turn anything into works, guys. So, Mandy, just Sue felt important to ask your question. The anointing of oil is a contact point of faith in James chapter 5, symbolic of the Holy Spirit upon you. That's how simple it is. It's not, there's no power in the bottle. There's power in what you believe. There's times the Lord instructs me to use oil. I think more so for the person I'm praying for, just because it means something to them a lot of times. There's times I feel convicted to just because God's saying, and I don't even question it. Just grab the bottle and do it. Right? But when you do it, it's not a works. It's not just following an ordinance. It's not a ritual. It's symbolic of Holy Spirit upon you. You can explain that to people before you anoint them with oil if you feel necessary. But here's the key to this scripture. Is it the anointing of oil or the prayer of faith that heals the sick? So what's most important? So can you pray the prayer of faith without the oil?
Yes.
But if someone comes to you, someone's sick, and if you look up this, is any among you sick, he's really referring to people that can't make it to the gatherings, people that are invalid, they're home, they're stuck, they're shut-ins. They can't make it to the meeting. That's a lot of what he's referring to here. But, and then the elders go, and that's where we get the visitations from and all the stuff, people from the church. An elder, you have to understand that elder does not mean holding the office of elder in common day Christianity. An elder means an older, maturing one in the Lord, somebody that is growing up in the Lord. It's an older brother in the Lord. It's not so, there's people holding the office of elder who doesn't even believe God heals. You follow me? There's people that like this thing's in the Bible. So look at the reality of this today. So you get a baby Christian, just gets born again and starts chomping in the word like I did when I got saved. And I'm in a church that doesn't believe in healing. And I'm sick, or my wife's sick, and I can't get her to church. Is any among you sick? Yeah. If it wasn't the will of God to heal, why is he asking the question? Hello? Why does he care if anyone is sick? He's talking about anybody. Is anybody sick? Because I don't want anybody sick. And if anybody's sick, speak up so we can take care of this thing. Come on, why else would God be asking? So then I call my pastor, I call the church office, and I say, hey, this has happened to so many people. Hey, I just read James 5. I'm new to your church. But my wife, I'm just new as a Christian, and I just started coming to church. I just got born again in one of your services the other week. And my name is so-and-so. Oh, yeah, I saw you on the... Yeah, okay. What's up? Well, my wife, I just read in James. Is anyone... Oh, well, we don't do that here. I've heard that story countless times. People come to me asking if I do this because they call churches and they say, we don't do that here. It's tough because you wonder what we are doing. What are we doing if we're not embracing this book? So look, is anyone who? Well, then let him call. So there's a power in asking, isn't it? Here's another thing. I'm just going to kill a little holy cow quick here, okay? There's so much about, well, I don't want to confess it. Well, I don't want to claim it, brother. Well, I don't want to speak it out of my mouth. Well, you just need to let God show you because I don't want to say it. Just because you say what you're going through doesn't mean you're laying claim to it as your identity. If you wouldn't ask for prayer being sick, how could you ever ask for prayer if you couldn't mention what you're going through? Is any among you sick? Not me, brother. I'm in faith. Praise God. I'm blessed. Praise God. Well, brother, you don't look like you're doing well. Are you okay? You look like you love. You don't live by sight, brother. You live by faith. Praise God. Bless God. Watch. Is any among you? He's not saying it's wrong to recognize you got stuff going on that's not right. How could you ever ask for prayer if you're not willing to admit you're going through stuff that isn't wholeness? That is not laying claim to it. That's not wearing it as an identity. Here's what it is. It's saying, look, brother, I got this going on and it is not the will of God. It's not my creative value. And if we can agree, I know heaven will crush this thing because Jesus is Lord. Can we get this thing on in prayer? Rather than, well, I don't even want to speak it out of my mouth. Well, what are you going through? How can I pray? Well, I don't even want to say it. See, you're already making it huge and you're making it difficult. And what do you mean you don't want to say it? It's like going over to Jennifer. How you doing today, hon? I'm fine. Praise the Lord. Bless God. Oh, okay. Well, praise God. Yeah, bless God. Praise God. Okay, good. Hey, she's good. So I go to somebody else because she's good. But she's sitting there and her head's splitting open with a migraine. But she feels like she has to say, yes, I'm doing fine, and that would be faith. When she could say, you know, Dan, I'm really glad you asked. Because this morning I woke up in this crazy migraine. It is so not my lot in life. And I've prayed and I haven't seen it change. Would you take my hand? Would you bless me? Would you pray? Because I know if we can agree, heaven will break this thing off of me. Is that laying claim to the migraine?
No.
Is that giving the migraine glory?
No.
Where did we get that? Yeah. Don't want to confess it, brother. Don't want to speak it, brother. Is any among you sick? We'll just ask. Do you see how we've been deceived into not asking? You have not because you ask and it shall be.
Oh, I don't want to ask, brother, because I don't want to claim to it. Would you ask so it can get out of you? You following? Kimberly. I need a mic. Anybody got it back there? Susan. And I'm not making fun. I'm saying, where did we get this stuff? We made things complicated. They're backwards. Go ahead.
We prayed for my sister. We went up to New York. We prayed for her. And she went to her Christian counselor and came back with, well, he said that anointing oil was a type of medicine back in the day. So I looked it up in the concordance, and it was. And I'd never had that thrown at me before, so I just didn't know how to respond. My initial reaction was, wow, that's just a cop-out for you not to pray for people, because she's going to someone who doesn't pray for people. You know, it's kind of what you're talking about before. But can you bring clarity to that just so that I have a... Do you know what I mean? Like, what is that about?
You just stay real clean in this, that the history of the Bible, anytime you talk about oil and the anointing oil, it's symbolic of the presence of God, the outpouring of God's Spirit, the flow of God's life. You see what I'm saying? So when because there was holy anointing oil, so now people have different fragrances. They make it up. That's just the real stuff, dude. That's what they say. Come on, you can use vegetable oil. That's what Mandy's concerned about. See, all of a sudden you got all this, but this is the real deal, and it's got the little leaves, and it's got all the stuff in. If there's a contact point of faith there for you, fine, but don't make it a ritual. The truth is you live by faith, Kimberly. And the anointing oil is simply a contact point of you to release your heart in the fact that the presence of the Lord is upon that person. You follow what I'm saying? So no matter what you find in history, certain anointing oils, when you look in the history, the temple, the tabernacle, all the stuff there, you look at even some of the way they made the anointing oil, it's because it was considered holy. Why? It's because the Spirit of God is holy. God's presence is holy. It was a way to connect with God apart from the blood of Jesus. Now Christ has come. Holy Spirit lives right inside of me. But there's times we use the anointing oil. We pray the prayer of faith, anointing with oil. If there was anything to do with the oil, we wouldn't have to pray the prayer of faith. If the oil was what healed them, we wouldn't need faith. You follow me? The oil is to release faith. It's the content. God knows how we are, guys. So we get saved and He gives us water baptism to have a contact point of faith to outwardly express what took place on the inside. How sweet is that of God? And we can act out dying and living with sincerity, and grace will come on it. He gives us the bread and the cup to remember Him to remember His death till He comes, to a contact point of faith, to pick it up and literally connect with the body of Christ. And everything it accomplished, and just, oh my goodness, and the blood of the new covenant, right? The oil is the same thing. Water baptism is the same thing. Make sense? Okay. Now watch. Pray the prayer of faith over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. Verse 15. I have all these circled. And the prayer of faith shall or will, that's in either will, that's right, will, or shall, it's the same. The prayer of faith will, I like the word will, it's stronger to me in English. The prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. So I said this before, is the evidence of faith in believing or receiving? Receiving reveals believing. What reveals faith? Speaking to the mountain or the mountain moving? Mountain moving is the evidence of faith. That's by Scripture. That's not my sermon. That's Bible. Matthew 17:20. And if he's committed sins, he will be forgiven. Isn't that an amazing thing? So if this guy's sick
And we pray the prayer of faith, and we forgive any man his sins. His sins will be forgiven. We show mercy. Mercy is obtained. We pray the prayer of faith. That man's healed. God says, look, if I healed him, you know I already forgave him. If you're healed, you're forgiven. It's the same grace. It's the body and the blood. There's a paralytic, and he says, take heart, son, your sins are forgiven. He flips it the other way around in James. He says, take heart, your sins are forgiven. Who's this guy that thinks he doesn't forgive sin? A blasphemer, we're going to get him on a cross yet. We'll kill him yet. And he says, why do you guys debate and bicker and think evil things in your heart? What's easier to say? Your sins are forgiven, arise and walk. But to show you the Son of Man has the power to forgive sin, get up and walk. What was he saying? Forgiveness is healing. Healing, forgiveness. And we've made it complicated because we haven't seen everybody healed when we prayed. I wonder if we've been more busy praying than believing. Oh God, did that come out of my mouth? We've learned how to pray. Teach us to pray, Lord. We've learned how to pray the Scriptures. It's not praying the Scriptures that move the mountain. It's believing. No. Come on. You got to be humble to hear what I'm saying, or you'll let stuff get in the way. Your hackles will rise. I'm telling you, we'll get some barnyard bannies in here in a little, maybe. We'll be like, don't tell me I didn't have faith. That's not what we're saying. We're saying believing and receiving work together, but receiving is the evidence of belief, not prayer. Believing. We're so busy praying. Our emphasis should be believing. Now watch. How can I believe if I haven't heard His will and understood His will through Christ Jesus? How can I believe God will? Lord, I know that You can heal me if You are willing. The leper. Man, if you watch the video, it's awesome. Lord, I know You can if You are willing. He hides himself. Jesus comes over to him. He unwraps him. I am willing. The question wasn't, could he? Most people know he can do anything. They believe that in their heart. They'll confess that. But will he? That should answer the question forever. I know you can, but are you willing? I'm willing. Boom. Come on. If he said that to the leper, why is he saying no to you? Come on. They're trying to figure out his will. I know you can. But are you willing? Look, you're healing everybody else, but what about me? And Jesus teaching us, bam, now because we have that instruction and we have that, we can no longer just throw a fleece out. Hey, if you're willing, heal me and try to be like the leper. We're supposed to know he's willing. Because then you let the healing or the lack of healing reveal the will of God. But the will of God's already revealed through Christ. He already died and rose from the dead. He already gave his body and his blood. It should be settled a long time ago. But somewhere along the line, we got off course and somebody didn't get healed. And then somebody else didn't get healed. And then we started to create all this other stuff. And then we split into from the church to a whole bunch of denominations. And now today we fight over this stuff instead of pursue God. And we defend our losses instead of seeking Him. Oh, it is true, and it proves that we're protecting ourselves instead of giving ourselves. So back to Hebrews quick. I got to wrap this up. I'm sorry, I just can't take questions right now. I feel like I need to get this done quick as I can because I'm in trouble. The faith is the substance, the realization of things hoped for, the evidence. You know what other word could be used there? Like confidence. The title deed of things not seen, the confidence, the title deed, the evidence. How can I have evidence, tangible substance, realized evidence in a situation if I don't know God's will in the matter? It's impossible.
And that's why we've struggled so much. But we know what to pray. But do we know what to believe? And we're reduced to trying to get a breakthrough instead of realizing the stone's already rolled away. You follow me here? So you have to settle in your heart the will of God. So now I'm going to show you some scriptures that there's just no way around, okay? You all good with this? So hear what I said. Is anyone among you sick? If it wasn't the will of God to heal, why is he asking if anyone's sick? You get this? Oh, Jesus says, go real quick. Matthew 10, real quick. We've got to fly through scripture, okay? I'm just going to read a lot of scripture here. We're going to fly through. We're going to cover more scripture than we usually do, hopefully, here. And I won't get too in the way trying to preach. Matthew 10, verse 7. See, this is why all this contrary stuff rose up, because of the Great Commission. The devil is freaked out that we're going to understand and walk in this. We're preaching this stuff emphatically in Colorado, and the church is believing us, and they're going out in the streets. So a man's finger grows back, tumors disappeared. We saw a lot of healings on the streets. It's really fun. One lady had a tumor that big, and it disappeared under the 14-year-old girl's hand on the street. We watched a man ready to get surgery, totally healed. We went into a subway, and the guy's walking like this. And he's healed. And he's like, oh my gosh. There were so many testimonies. So many testimonies. Why? Because of what I'm telling you here. As you go, verse 7. Preach saying the kingdom of God is at hand. We have to understand that the kingdom of God is the king's domain. It's how God functions. It's the realm of God. It's how God works and moves. It's the realm and dominion of God's kingdom on the earth. Is at hand means it's within reach. It means it is here. Okay? Now he said, don't look here, don't look there, for the kingdom of God is... Where's the kingdom? Oh my goodness. Now get this. The kingdom of God is where? Within you. Don't look here, don't look there. The kingdom of God is where? Now we're to go preach. Where's the kingdom? We're to go preach saying the kingdom of God is here.
Wow.
Hello. Wow. Who are we? The body of? Whose term is that? Ours, or did God give us that? Did we make that up, or is that in the Bible? Who are we? The body of what?
Christ.
What is Christ? Jesus' last name? Is it like Joseph and Mary Christ on the mailbox? Hello? Christ, it means the anointed one. The anointed one with the ability to anoint is what Christ means. And we're the embodiment of God's anointing. We're the embodiment of God's power. We're the embodiment of God's Messiah. We're the embodiment of God's Christ and Savior. We're God's choice to embody His kingdom. And go preach saying, it's here. That's why we say, can I see your hand? And pray. Why? Because the kingdom in us flows through us to go into people. That's why we lay our hands on the sick and don't cry out to God out there, because God's in here. Go preach saying, God lives in men. I walked up on the street to a man and a lady. I'm talking to him, and I said, oh my gosh, you're not doing well. The wife went. I said, it's really bad diabetes. And the wife went, how do you know? And watch what I said. Jesus, He lives inside of me. That's how I answered her. It's sure good to not have whacked identity and stuff.
Yeah.
Well, you know, God lets me hear every once in a while. How did you know? Jesus, He lives inside of me. And He's made my heart like His. It's called a heart of love. And I see you in love. I see you through His love. And he can tell me anything because he can tell his heart anything. He told me about your husband because he loves him and he knows I won't mishandle that. Sir, I need to see your hand. The best is yet to come. That's exactly how I talked. By now, they're crying. Take his hand and the Spirit of God goes... It's fun.
Yes, it is.
You roll down the street a little and you sit on the... You're talking to a lady. Hey, you. What's going on in your legs? They hurt really bad. Is it like arthritis? How do you know? I just know that it's really hard to get out of bed in the morning. It's the time you look forward to the least in the morning because that's the challenge. How do you... Jesus, he lives inside of me. Give me your hand. That's coming out of your body. Yeah. Where's the kingdom? Go preach saying. The kingdom's here. Where is it? You're looking at it. We've been raised to think that's blasphemy. But what did Jesus say? The kingdom's here. Where did Jesus put the kingdom? In his guise. Now watch. Preach saying the kingdom's here. Now watch. What you tell me what changed the will of God since he said this. And you tell me where you can find he retracted this. Hello? Look, just because it's not your reality doesn't mean it's not God's will. Just because you haven't experienced it doesn't mean it's not true. And we're letting human wisdom talk ourselves out of God's word. Jesus said, see, because here's where, oh, I'm going to get down to this thing now. This is where you find out if you really honor him. When nothing around your life makes sense and measures up to what he said, and yet you honor what he said above what's going on around you. And you press in and you pay the price of your own life, your own feelings, your own emotions, your own reputation, till you find him. And you refuse to be offended. You refuse to be discouraged because those things point to self-centeredness and self-focus. Hello? Come on, I'm not mad. I'm just preaching straight and strong, sober. At what point do we humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God and say, your word is true, period. Instead of, well, brother, you're just taking that too far. He couldn't have meant that because of look, duck, 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 duck. And now you're talking in the same language Eve entertained and ate the fruit. And that's why we eat it all the time. It's called the knowledge of good and evil. We're still serving knowledge. No, it's impossible. It's on video. Watch this. I don't even know what I should know. Watch this. The kingdom of God is at hand. What's the response to the kingdom of God at hand? What's the first thing out of his mouth? Oh, wait. Some sick? The ones that it's not ordained that God... that God didn't make sick, the ones that God didn't make sick, right? You got to heal the ones that God didn't make sick, because if God made them sick, then you're not going to heal them because you're getting them out of the will of God. And if God made them sick and it's not the will of God to heal, why are you going to a doctor? Why are you even taking a medicine and trying to get out of the will of God? Just stay in the will of God. Why are you having a surgery if it's God's will that you be sick? Just stay sick then. It's crazy. Can I be wrong with this? That's crazy. And that kind of thinking's making us not too effective. Come on, forgive my emotion. And this thing, I have seen so much pain because of wrong believing. Watch this. I haven't seen everything I pray for happen, and I don't go through the pain because of what I believe. It drives me to him more. Because of what I believe. I don't go through discouragement. Oh, I go through tears at the sense of loss. And I cry for mothers that cry because we didn't see their baby live. You better believe. See, that's all over me right now. That's real. But if I take that personal and selfish and take that to heart, I have no courage to hold another baby. But at that point, what I'm saying is, then let them all die. Whatever will be, but I can't handle this. And He's ordained me to be in the middle of that. And be selfless and courage and take the next one in my hands because of what He said. And not be bruised over the last one that didn't live and not get caught up with a cynical argument. But grab them in my arms and believe and be a man of integrity because Jesus Christ said to do it. Who am I to cop a belief and not pick him up in my arms when He put His kingdom in me and said, preach it here and heal the sick? If 20 died in a row, I got to pick up number 21. What are we thinking? Is He the Lord? Or is He not? Is His word His word? Or is it not? My experience should never have the right to define Him. He's already defined Himself through His life and experience. And He's the one I'm following. I'm not deciding Him along the way. I'm following Him along the way. Come on, I don't mean to get that stuff comes on me. I'm not yelling at people right now. I'm just, this thing is so, it grates on me sometimes because of what the devil is freaked out by the gospel. He is so afraid of God. He is so afraid of our potential. And he's sure he can keep us fighting over this and hurt and sentimental and bruised and angry and mad and dull in our hearing. He is sure he can keep man in derision and just sweep the gospel under the carpet. So by the year 2011, we just have churches on every corner and pay homage to God instead of manifest the kingdom like He said. You show me where it's changed. Heal the sick, very first thing out of His mouth. Cleanse the leper. Raise the... Be honest, we still fear death in many cases. And we're to raise the dead. And we're still fearing death. Be honest, many of us. Freely you have what? What'd you receive? The kingdom. And in the kingdom is healing. In the kingdom is power. In the kingdom is liberty and redemption and righteousness. Right? Watch. The kingdom of God is not meat or drink. It's righteousness. Peace. Because when you've been made right, you have peace with God. So sin can no longer have dominion over me because God cursed it in the flesh. And the law of sin and death has been destroyed by the law of the Spirit of life that flows through Christ. Yeah. Did you get it? Come on. How do we muddy that up? Just because we don't get an answer to prayer and then our minds are so honored, our human opinion is so treasured that we can talk ourselves out of what He said? It's not up for debate. It's just time to keep growing. It's time to go back into the bedroom in the secret place and seek Him. When His men didn't heal an epileptic and they said, why? He said, because it's what you're failing to see. He called it unbelief. If you preach like Jesus preached today, you offend most of the church because they're carrying so much pain because of loss that you can't speak freely. And it proves we need to die and get a grip of why we're Christians. I hope you guys are all right. I get intense. I'm sorry. I am not mad at anybody. I'm mad at these lies. I can tell you that. See, I handle things. I like to chop up lies. I had a young man sitting in a service where God was working a couple miracles and He healed a man 10 feet away from me. And I went over and said, what's up with you, buddy? I haven't figured you out all night. He said, well, I'm an atheist. I don't believe. And I, you're kidding me. That's pitiful. I just looked at my mom. I laughed. I said, you're kidding me. That's pitiful. That has to be the weakest stand to take on the planet.
how easy it is to say, I just don't believe nothing. It takes a little bit of honor, integrity, and faith to believe something. And I actually, it looked like I was insulting him. I was insulting his belief. And it to the point where it made him feel foolish. And he said, well, I guess it is kind of foolish, isn't it? I said, foolish? Are you kidding me? But see, you're not foolish. You're not called to be a fool, but that's foolish. And he ended up changing his whole mind and went home to go seek the Lord on his bed. But I accosted his belief. I wasn't accosting him, but I attacked that belief. You follow me? I am not doing well here. Freely you've received. What did you receive? The kingdom. What do you freely give? The kingdom. What's in the kingdom? Healing and restoration. He says the same thing in Luke. Same thing in Luke. Let's go to Matthew quick. 17:20-19. Why couldn't we cast out the epilepsy? Well, it's because of your unbelief, guys. I'm offended. I'm leaving church. He's not being mean. He's not saying, because you don't have no faith. You get more faith, you'll see. He's not saying that. He's not being rude. He's saying, if you study it out, he's saying, because of what you fail to see. You follow me? You follow me? Because of what you fail to see. Why couldn't we heal the epilepsy? Because of what? It's a visual. Epilepsy is a seizure. If he'd have stopped seizing, you'd think he might be healed. So he obviously never stopped seizing. True? So he's seizing. What happens when you have a visual and you start praying and the visual doesn't change? What goes into immediate action? Your mind. Put yourself in those guys' shoes. Jesus is walking around. What do you want me to do? That I might see. See. Stretch out your hand. Take your bed and walk. I am willing. Be cleansed. So many things that if they were one by one written, the world wouldn't contain the books. And the disciples are going. And it's just boom, boom, boom. Now they pray and he's still seizing. What do you think's going on in their heads? Man, we went out two by two and we're working miracles. I wonder why it's not working now. Wonder why he's not stopping. Wonder why he's not healed yet. Are they questions that go through your mind when you've prayed for the sick? Wow, if Jesus was here, he'd be healed by now. I wonder what we're doing. And the whole time, all their prayers are coming from that place. And it's called perverted thinking, corrupted thinking, self-conscious, human reasoning stuff that came through the fall, through Adam. That's why we need the salvation of our soul. The two places that teach, I might have to teach this in one of the classes, the salvation of our soul. It's not taught and it's not understood. Your spirit's saved, but there's a salvation of your soul very necessary. That's the redemption of your mind to get you back into truth. And the only way you find the salvation of your soul in the Bible is by not backing up, but continue believing in the face of adversity and conflict. The two places I could teach it out very easily, and we might have to do that. Are you following me? Salvation of your soul. Here's what Jesus is saying. You're perverse. You're corrupt in your mind because of the fall of man. But I say to you. So he says, because of your unbelief, but I say to you. Oh my goodness. Do you hear how he's qualifying that? Who is Jesus? Do you think he deserves some honor? He says, I say to you. Who's saying this? Jesus. I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, what will you do? You will say to the mountain. You're not crying out to God. You're not in despair. You're not in fear. You're carrying the kingdom. You're the body of Christ. You have faith. You recognize the mountain. How do you recognize the mountain? Because lights expose things for what it is and isn't. And you recognize the mountain isn't the will of God. If you're questioning if it's the will of God, it's not even a mountain. It might be an obstacle God put there. Well, God's just allowing me to go through this because He wants me to learn how to make proper decisions. And you're dying of cancer and you're saying that. I've heard it countless times, more than I could remember. Families embrace those scenarios to try to find comfort in their scenario, in their theology. And yet cry as they lose their loved one. It's just taking the power out of the church. It's wrong believing. It really is. I say to you, if you have faith, what did Jesus say? If who has faith? You. Linda, I'm not focusing on you, but you just came big on my heart. Linda, I'm not focusing on you. I feel like this is Jesus. He's talking to you. No matter what you've been taught in your whole life, no matter what you've felt, what you've been through, how hard you think it's been a struggle, Jesus is saying, Linda, if you have faith, you can speak to the mountain, girl, because I've ordained you. I've birthed you out of my own heart before time. No matter what life's brought, if you grow to the place of faith, honey, you can say to the mountain, and it will say, yes, ma'am. And Linda, nothing will be impossible for you. Now, who said that? Did I just say that to her? Or is that right here? Did that come from me or Jesus? Now, you can put all your names in there, but I heard her name highlighted out of all you. Because He loves her. He wants to minister strength to her in some areas and get her on page in truth because she has a beautiful heart for God. You do. You have a tremendous heart for God. If you didn't, you'd have been crushed a long time ago. Absolutely. God loves you. And I heard when you read this to know He's talking to you. Now watch. He says nothing. And what? And what? Nothing is nothing. It doesn't say and nothing. Oh, unless of course God ordained it. Nothing will be impossible for you, Linda. However, sounds like a stipulation. A proviso, fine print. However, this kind what? This kind of unbelief, this kind of not seeing won't come out of your life. This kind of corrupt thinking, perverse thinking won't come out of your life unless you continue to stay encouraged and move forward in the place of prayer and seeking God through prayer and fasting to where you see Him and become one with Him so you can see through Him and make sense of things. Oh, that's so powerful. Did Jesus say nothing will be impossible? I could take you through scripture after scripture right now, and we could take another hour, I promise, and I could just keep paging scripture after scripture that are unlimited. Mark 11 says, have faith in God. It doesn't say have faith in your faith, and it doesn't say have faith in your prayer. Have faith in God. How do you have faith in God if you don't know who God is? Have faith in God. For whosoever says believing shall have whatsoever they ask. Whosoever, whatsoever. Show me a limitation there. The language is on purpose. Whosoever, whatsoever. You get it? Oh. And it's just promise after promise. Matthew 21:22. All things whatsoever, all things. Do you hear how inclusive that is? All things whatsoever you ask in prayer, believing, not needing. Believing shall be what? Shall be done. Isn't that amazing? We're trying to get the more people to pray, the better. Because we're elevating the problem and making it so huge. We've got to get the more people praying. My Bible says if two just touch and agree, touching anything that they ask according to God's will, done. You get it? Why don't we stand to our feet just in honor of God and we'll just pray. I didn't get to Jen's question from Korea, but we can. We'll get it. Are we still on? Let me just do this real quick. I can do this quick. No, I'm not. I'm trying to do, Jen. Sorry, I don't have grace, the Lord. The Lord's telling me to shut down here. So we'll get your question. It's important. It's about the chastening of the Lord. I'll just let you know clearly. Chastening of the Lord has to do with correction, rebuke, scourging. It's the same process that you father and mother with. If you found your child touching something they weren't supposed to touch, would you chop off their fingers with a butcher knife? Would that be child abuse? Would you go to jail? Why do you think God is breaking legs if somebody's off track? If your child went where you told them not to go and you said, I'll teach you, and you snapped their leg, you would lose your child and go to jail, and rightly so. It would be child abuse, and yet we'll turn around and make God a child abuser in our theology so people can't receive His love. And it's a demonic trap on the earth to paint a wrong picture of God so people are confused and can't approach Him because He's the one that broke my leg. He's the one that put me in the body cast and wrecked the car to get my attention. Oh, He can get your attention through that. God did not take His big finger and flip your little car. Sometimes we're reaping what we've sown. Sometimes grace just pulls back and lets us go because He's trying to restrain, and and all of a sudden He lets some things work out, and you have to face the reality of your heart and your life. There's scourging in that. There's correcting. If you look in the context of Hebrews 12, it has to do strongly with persecution and sin unjustly against you. Sometimes God lets that take place and lets you walk out character. But don't you for a second, church, think that God uses the things He paid to get off of us through Christ Jesus to turn around and put them back on you to teach you a lesson. If you treated your kids the way we say God treats us, well, He's schizo and we ought to lock Him up if we could. Or He certainly needs a better parenting program. God did not beat His Son beyond description on a cross to raise you up and give you back identity to turn around and mar you. Don't you dare believe it. Amen? Father, we honor You. We stand in Your presence. We worship You. And Father, we just ask You to continue to build an honor for the Word in us and teach us and let the Word come alive. And please, God, help us, Father, from being presumptuous and quick to speak and quick to anger and not quick to listen. You said that any man or woman of God should be slow to anger and slow to speak and very quick to listen. Father, if we listen in the secret, we'll have something for the housetops. God, teach us to listen in the secret and proclaim truth through our lives. Let every heart be encouraged. Let strength come into every person's heart. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Love you guys. You guys are awesome. Thank you. Bless you.